Good to see those here this morning, and we want to, maybe if we place a title on the lesson, is try to follow a good example. And in this we learn that there are a lot of different characters in the Bible, and some of those characters or you want to follow, but yet there are some of those characters in which that you would want to make an effort in order to do so. But I'd like to maybe think about some things that happened in the Apostle Paul's life. And now I will not be getting all the things in which that he did, and maybe not even what's written down about him. Won't be covering all of that, but just maybe give us some kind of a glimpse or some kind of insight on the importance of following a good example. And the Corinthian letter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this is mainly where the lesson will be taken from, but yet we find in this chapter that Paul says that seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, he said, we faint not. But I want us to notice that seeing that we have this ministry. Now, when we look to what Paul says, and if that's all that we had to look at, we probably wouldn't know too much about what he was talking about. But yet, he says that we have received this ministry. He's talking about a particular ministry in which that they had received. And in that, we learn from the chapter before, then about verse 6, we find that Paul makes a statement there that they were, that he is talking about the apostles, the ones in which that God had given his word to, they were ministers of the New Testament. Now that should make a difference, because when we learn from that, when you turn into your Bible or look at your Bible, you'll find it's an Old Testament and New Testament. Now, in that, we learn that the apostles were not writers of the Old Testament. They were not the spokesmen or the ones who revealed the Old Testament, because Paul said they were ministers of the New Testament. He says not of the letter, because why? The letter kills. In other words, we find him stressing the importance of this particular ministry. And he says that they had received this mercy from God. And he says, we faint not. In other words, we don't lose heart, or we don't lose hope, or we don't give up, we don't quit. Because of the importance of the message, Paul goes on to remind the church at Corinth some things in which that is not too much different than from today. Because when you look further into that, he said, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. What is he talking about? What is Paul trying to get over to us here? He's simply pointing out that we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We're not walking in craftiness. We're not handling the word of God deceitfully. You see, people can and do and will mistreat the word of God. They will twist the word of God. They will sort of set up different ways of trying to get people to obey something in which that God has not in no way stated for them to do. It's just like this morning, in fact, we were listening to a preacher on the radio, and he continually pointing out and saying that in the book of Acts, and he goes to chapter 2 and goes on to different verses, different chapters, and he said, it's repent, be saved, and be baptized. Repent, be saved, and be baptized. And nowhere does God teach that, you see. That's not God's teaching at all. You see, people like that are the ones in which that are twisting, arresting the scriptures to their own destruction and ever who else follows them. But Paul is talking here about some of those at Corinth, those Judaizing teachers that were trying to spread their teaching or their doctrine of bringing back part of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, bringing back circumcision and binding that upon individuals and allowing them this to be a part or be forced upon them. Now, circumcision was a part of the Old Testament. But you see, even circumcision began long before Moses. It began back there with Abraham. That was a covenant God made with Abraham. But yet, circumcision was binding upon the Israelites. God commanded it. He commanded circumcision. And so these Judaizing teachers were trying to enforce not only a portion of the Old Testament, but trying to bind the New Testament as well. Trying to make both covenants to be placed upon these individuals. And Paul pointed that out in the Galatian letter, chapter 5. That if you're circumcised, in other words, if you want to keep part of the law, you're going to have to keep all of it. If you want to keep circumcision, then you're going to have to keep all of it. And if you do, he says that Christ has become of no effect unto you. If you're trying to be justified by the law, then you're fallen from grace. And you see, when we fall from grace, we've lost everything. We've lost all hope because it is by God's grace that we are saved. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:10, he said, it is by the grace of God I am what I am. And so when we lose God's grace, then we've lost everything. And so Paul said, if you're going to try to keep part of it, you better keep all of it. Because if you don't, you're going to fall. James chapter 2 and verse 10 says, if you keep the whole law, and offend in one point, you're guilty of all. You see, the danger of trying to go back and follow after what is taught from the Old Testament system, tried to live under that law, if we fail in one point, we're guilty of all. So Paul said, we are individuals, we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Now, why would people's minds or hearts be lost? Is it because they don't have the truth? Surely not. Paul was teaching the truth. Paul preached the gospel. And he preached to those even at Corinth. In Acts 18 and 8, many of the Corinthians, they heard and they believed and they were baptized. But yet, we find that he says that if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. You see, the devil has a way of causing us not want to see the truth. Jesus, Matthew 13, 15, he says, the people's hearts is waxed gross. The ears are dull of hearing. The eyes, they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and in their hands stand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. Why, Jesus, are not people listening at you? He says, they stopped their ears. They've closed their eyes. They don't want to be converted. And if a person doesn't want to be converted, there's not anything we can do about it. It has to be those individuals that has a desire to be converted. All thing we can try to do is try to, you know, continue to teach, continue to talk. But if that person doesn't want to be converted, there's not much you can do. If they reject it, it's going to be them. He says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The God of this world, the prince or the power thereof, talking about the devil. He's talking about the devil. You know, several years ago, that you can make a statement that you don't see no churches called by the devil, but you can't make that now. Because you have Satan church. But you also find that God talks about it in Revelation 2. The synagogue of Satan. So we find that we don't necessarily have to have Satan's church over the door for it to be Satan's church, do we? No. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 13, he said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers. These individuals, he says, that they are lookalikes, but yet it's not the real thing. Such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. You know, there is a group, a religious group, and in their group they have what they refer to as the 12 apostles. You see, there is no apostles today. There is no apostles today. When these apostles died, probably the latest was John, and maybe about around 90. That was the end of them. There have been no more apostles. The apostles were the ambassadors for Christ. And so we have no more apostles. We've got no more. And the ones in which that they laid their hands, the apostles laid hands upon, they're all gone too. And the ones that the apostles laid hands upon couldn't give it to no one else. And so we find, Paul says, such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light, and it is no great mystery. What about that? It is no great thing or mystery in his ministries to be also transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The end will be according to their works. So, Paul is warning those at Corinth. There's going to be those that will twist, that will corrupt. You go back to 2 Corinthians 2 and the latter part of that. You'll find in verse 17, He said, we're not a many who corrupt the Word of God. How can we corrupt the Word of God? Well, let me ask you this. How can you contaminate a glass of pure water? How can you contaminate that? You contaminate that from being pure water by putting just a little in it. Just something different in it. And that's how we can contaminate the Word of God. That's how we can corrupt the Word of God, by putting something in there that God doesn't say goes there. And Paul said, we're not of those who corrupt the Word of God. We don't corrupt it. We're not of those who are handling the Word of God deceitfully. We're not dishonest with it. And so whenever that we see Paul here, he's talking about the fact that this devil, he can blind the minds of individuals. Now, if you go back to the chapter before that, in verse 14, he said, but their minds were blinded until this day in reading of the Old Testament. They did not want to see the ending of that old system. Some of them did not. They wanted to keep that upon individuals, bind those things. And they bind things in which that even God didn't authorize, but they wanted to hold on to some of those things. And Jesus referred to it as being the doctrines and commandments of men, as washing of pots and cups and many other like things, Mark 7 says. So, you see, they wanted to bind some of their traditional things upon individuals as well. And so, Paul says, to this day, and I do believe when we read that, that that's applicable to us today. To this day, people are still blinded by the reading of the Old Testament. Why? Because they want to pull out some of those things back there, but they don't want all of it. You take the Sabbatarians, for instance, the Seventh-day worshipers. They want to pull out that one day back there, but they don't want to take the whole week, everything that God says to do. They don't want to take the whole. They just want to take a portion of it, what satisfies them. You see, if we're going to take any of it, we're going to have to take all of it. Now, wouldn't it be, what would you think, talk to an individual and they would look up at you and they say, now this has been said. I'll take the words of Jesus in red, but I don't want none of the rest of it. Now, you would say, well, that person, you know, they don't believe all the Bible. But you see, that person, little do they know that Jesus is the author of all of it. Jesus said he would pray the Father, and the Father was going to send the Comforter, and the Comforter was going to tell him those men that wrote whatever that he had said to them. And so, when we just want to take a portion of what God says, and that's when we get in problems. Or when we want to put in more than what God says. Paul says in verse 5 that we preach not ourselves. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. I don't know if you've ever thought about that verse very much, but look at what Paul is actually saying. We preach not ourselves. In other words, we're not the ones that's on the pinnacle. We're not the ones that's to stand out. We're not the ones that are making reputation for ourselves. We're not doing that. We don't preach ourselves. It's not what we want people to hear. That's not what we're preaching. You know, sometimes we find that there are those who will preach only what people like to hear. And 2 Timothy 4, Paul talked about the fact that there will be those who will itch in ears. It would turn from the truth, but turn to fable. And you know as well as I know that a lot of times it's more people will believe a lie a lot quicker than they'll believe the truth. And sometimes it is that they will get more excited over a falsehood than they will the truth. For instance, if you would tell someone, if you know, and they know that person, and you say, well, you know what so-and-so did? So-and-so went down there and broke into that house and they took this or took that and they killed the cat and the dog. And people go circle or something like that on that person. Oh, I wouldn't have known that person would have been like that, but I figure maybe. But you tell them, well, that so-and-so, they took and went down. You know, they sat up all night with neighbor. They were sick. They don't get too excited about something like that. People want to believe something in error much quicker than they want to believe the truth. Look at back in the days of Jesus. Who did the people, a lot of them, want to accept? Was it Jesus or was it the Pharisees and Sadducees or the scribes? Well, Jesus came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, John 1:11-12. They didn't want to accept him. But Jesus says, he that rejecteth me and received not my words, got one that judges him. The words I've spoken, the same will judge him at the last day. And Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. You see, Jesus is the ruler. He is the king. He is the one. He is the lawgiver. But notice further he said, but ourselves, your servants. Who was Paul saying that they were servants to? To the church. Because the church was made up of the people. And he said, we are servants of the church. And sometimes people can't get that. Paul was a servant. He was a servant for the people. He was a servant for the church. Paul, if you will notice, even in his writings, that he supported the church. He wanted the church to be exalted. And he also wanted people to know what he had once done to the church. He wasn't happy over that. I believe in his years that really hurt him quite a bit. And he's going back and remembering some of those things that he had done. Hailing men and women and committed them to prison. But Paul made sure he got over to the church at Corinth who the foundation of the church was. It was not built upon men. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, but another builder on, but let every man take heed how he builds on, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul didn't build it upon himself. He didn't build it upon Peter. He didn't build it upon any other ones. He built it upon Jesus Christ. And if a church is not built up on Jesus Christ, it's got the wrong foundation. It makes no difference what else you do for it. It's got the wrong foundation. It has to be built upon Jesus Christ. Paul pointed out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that ye are the body of Christ. Talking about the church. Church in which that Jesus promised that he was going to build and did. People were added to it. And this is the first time in Bible history that you'll find people were added to the church. And that was in Acts 2, after the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, not before. Before that time, I will. Now it's now. They were added to it. But servants, your servants, for Jesus' sake. But this morning, if you're and you're not a Christian, you need to realize the importance, the need. You can even follow Paul in that example, how he became a Christian. And you can see that in Acts 9, 26, also chapter 22. He relates to those. Ananias, a preacher, a disciple, I should say. It doesn't say he was a preacher. He says he was a disciple. He comes to Saul of Tarsus and tells him what he needs to do. Acts 22:16 says, "Now, why tarrest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sin." A simple thing. But man has tried to complicate it. Why don't we speak where God speaks and be silent where God's silent? That's what God said about it. If you're subject to his invitation, you need to come. While together we stand, sing the song, selected.